Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways running enriches our lives. I'm your host, Pam, and I've run half marathons in 28 states and completed 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. In today's episode, we'll be talking about the Chicago Marathon and how the act of training for and lacing up for one big race can be a tipping point for continued running. We'll also talk about running groups, those that are informal, as well as sanctioned running clubs and what they might offer. 17 years ago, my guest and I ran the Chicago Marathon, which led to a lifetime of road races for both of us. Looking back, we also ran the Portland Half Marathon, as well as the Houston Half. Closer to home, I think we also ran the Newburyport Half, and I'm sure there are other races which I don't remember. And we certainly took a lot of training runs. Welcome, Kathleen. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself as a runner?
I started running when I was about 41 years old just to exercise, and I could just roll out of bed and go running. And I had neighborhood friends, and we all did it together. And it wasn't like we said, oh, let's go do a marathon. Let's go do a half marathon. But then we were running enough that we thought, let's go do something, have a goal. And it was fun. Half marathon was our first, I think, in Portland, and it was exciting, and it was like a time to get away. In those days, you had to travel to a half marathon. Nowadays, a half marathon is like in your next town, whenever. I did like going to Chicago. We stayed, and it was exciting. It felt like a big marathon to go to, and we had no idea of what we were really getting into. There was like five of us, and we just kind of said, we're going to book a place. The day before the marathon, everybody says you're supposed to rest, but we were like, let's walk around this city. This is a great city. Let's have fun. So we did, and I think we were very tired. So we did go run the next day. It was exciting. The weather was good. It's like an October marathon, I believe. And it was 2004 when we ran. Yeah. It was fun for us. I never even wore a running watch. I didn't know much about it. And we just started with a bunch of people, and we didn't know anything. At the end, we would look at the clock and totally clueless. And it was fun to not know.
Yeah.
It was a fun first marathon. Finish was very exciting. Like every marathon, it feels really exciting when you finish.
That is so, so true. And, you know, when we took that trip, there were five of us and a sixth person came who we called the team doctor because she didn't run, but she enjoyed sightseeing with us and, you know, carbo loaded with us. And so she was really a part of the team. And so we unofficially called her the team doctor. And you're right. There was so much fun about that first race, in part because things we didn't know. And it did follow up after we had previously gone up to Portland and had run that half marathon. And I remember just being wiped out after doing that half marathon. So I think one thing we learned between running halves and fulls was hydration and starting to leave water on our training runs and just being a little bit more prepared in that regard about as you're adding miles and being on the road for longer periods of time of just ensuring that you're carrying either water with you or have goo or things on the race course. But yes, Chicago was phenomenal. And I did note it is one of the 6 world major marathons and is the 4th largest marathon worldwide. And I cracked up when I read that it's quote unquote limited to 45,000 runners. The year that we did it, there were 32,000 finishers and so many spectators and musical acts and water stations. So in many ways, it just felt like anyone in America could go and run that race. And that was just a lot of fun, for sure. And I had a couple of memories, but I just wanted to ask you, like, do you have some particular memories from that race of being out on the course? Any particular bands or, I mean, there were just so many spectators and so many people at the finish line, I remember.
I do remember like a hill because there wasn't a lot of hills. And then at the end, I think I had to go uphill, but I was very excited because I was doing really well and I didn't feel tired. So it was very surprising. And so after that marathon, people would ask me, oh, what special training did you follow? What diet and what type of course, you know, did you follow? And I was like, nothing. We just kind of trained and we just you know, gut instinct said, let's, oh, I guess we need to drink water now. I mean, we weren't really following a script. And I kind of like that. We were naive enough to just enjoy it. For me, I ended up qualifying for Boston, and people were all over me like, I can't believe you didn't even know you qualified. And I said, I didn't have a watch and I didn't know about net time. It just didn't occur to me that my first marathon out, I'd be a qualifier. So, of course, I did run Boston after that. In those days, you could just sign up after this marathon in October. There was no, like, method to sign up for the Boston Marathon. So I just signed up and I decided I'd run Boston Marathon. But I like that because it was all a surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't take that away. It was a memory I'll never forget. I even went to the party, I think, after the Chicago Marathon out on some, like, outdoor place, and it was really cool looking, and everybody was talking about, oh, did you qualify? And I'm like, no, but I still enjoyed it. I really liked it. And then the next day it was in, like, online or in the newspaper that I did qualify, because I didn't understand the whole thing. But I enjoyed the party. The party was fun and the people were fun. And it seems like every runner you ever meet is happy to finish.
Right.
And they all are, everybody's upbeat. So who wouldn't want to be around these people?
Right. I remember it might have been out at the Navy Pier. And, yes. Certainly a memory for me was when we all finished, we ended up wearing our medals around the entire day and night. I think we were like, we don't want the victory lap to end. We're gonna keep this thing on and flying back east. I'm sure we kept it like in on our person. We did not want it to get lost with our luggage. It was like the most valuable medal ever. Now I'm sure we probably don't feel that same way about those finisher medals, but that first one was so important. And,
I have mine framed.
Oh, very cool.
Just so you know. It's in my office. I actually have three of them framed. I decided because it looked good and my husband framed them and they weren't the special frame. But so what? I get to see my name, my time, and my little medal. Because as marathons went on and I did do more, I didn't really frame the medals. I didn't keep the medals. I keep the medals. I think I do, but I don't know where I keep them all.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so interesting that you were 41 when you did your first marathon, because I think most people assume that runners start, and I guess this was a question I was going to ask, like assuming that you had started in high school or college, but you must have been active, or I imagine you were athletic in other ways growing up.
I was. I played Little League. I was the first girl on the team. I only had two brothers, no sisters, so I was very active. My brother lifted weights. I lifted weights. This is like, I'm 59, so people weren't really lifting weights at the gym when I started. Mm-hmm. So I didn't run in high school. It never dawned on me to run. I roller skated and I rode my bike a lot, but I just didn't think about running. So when I started to run, it was more just that it was convenient. I liked that it was affordable because I have four children and I didn't want to spend money on equipment. You'll never see me on a Peloton, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. In those early days, equipment was our running sneakers and maybe like a inexpensive MP3 player that maybe had like 10 songs on it compared to the technology today with, pick your technology. So yeah, it was. And it was so convenient, like coming out of our homes and just meeting up and lacing up and going for that run and feeling so much better after just a simple hour of being out of the house. I'm sure if you asked any of our children, they would say there was a difference of the mom before a run and a mom after the run. And the mom after the run might have been sweatier, but certainly might have been more patient and happier and had a more of a game plan about how to go forward with whatever it was that was vexing the family at that time.
Yeah, so true. I mean, I'm thankful for activity because it was always a mental de-stress for me. My children, everybody knows, the mind-body connection. I'm just surprised that everybody doesn't go out there, at least take a walk. But I mean, running really does make you feel better.
Yes. Yep. It's so, so true. So true. So in terms of Chicago and that our first race all together as the Beehive Five, as we were called at the time, five moms running and doing that race. And then you said you had your Boston qualifier, kind of a funny thing. I heard someone say, like, you know, they got a BQ time, and I was ready to correct them and say, no, I think you mean like a personal best. I don't think you mean. And then I realized, oh no, I'm at fault. They talked about a Boston qualifier. So tell a little bit about your Boston experience, because I just am blown away that you ran it 10 times, I think you were saying. So that just is phenomenal to me. And that's a tough course. That is not flat like Chicago. That is a tough, tough course.
It is. And when it's in your backyard, you want to do it. It's just so like finishing your, the Red Sox player, your like Tom Brady. It's just going through Boston. I grew up south of Boston. I have a little southern Boston accent there, Hull, Massachusetts. And just going through Boston, I, like you, didn't know all about the chatter on the Boston qualifier. But it was exciting to even know that I qualified. I never did qualify in Boston for Boston because probably those hills are tough. But I tried on a flatter marathon, like I want to say Lowell, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, the Bay State, maybe.
The Bay State's a good one. And I liked that I could qualify and just make it. Sometimes I didn't make it, and I belonged to a running club, the Winner's Circle Running Club in Salisbury. And if you were a member that donated your time and did things, I could get a club number. So that's happened to me too. But I did end up running Boston 10 times, and I loved every single one. And I just feel like if everybody, you know, could ever get the opportunity, because you are running, it's not like Chicago, which is still fun and everybody's out there. But in Boston, they're all like so elite to me that just to be amongst them, it was always fun. But I look back and I just, my last one was, I want to say 2019, and it was torrential rain.
Oh.
And I had to, my husband was clever. He put Rain-X on my safety glasses because it was so cold. But it was a clever idea because I didn't have any fogging.
Yeah.
I did feel like I should be doing a commercial for safety, but Rain-X. But it was funny. That was a tough one. The wind, it was like 35 out, and you just want to finish, and you're so wet and your hands were shaking. You did everything you could to stay warm enough, but it really was one of the harder ones I ever did. But I still enjoyed it. And my daughter, she lived on Beacon Hill, and I stayed with her. So I had a go on that hill after the marathon. And I'll never forget how my legs, my quads, they were
right,
sore,
right,
going up Beacon Hill.
You're probably
hill.
Walking up the hill sideways, right?
Yeah, it was a killer. But it was, you know, fine the next day. Because what I did find is I never overdid anything. Like when we would train back in the day, we weren't pushing ourselves. So we weren't as injured as many people always used to say to me, mm-hmm. Oh, did you get an injury? I'm like, no. But that's also because we weren't really, you know, all about, you know, getting faster or getting better. We were just more enjoying running.
You're so right. And, you know, as I think about that Boston course, I've been a spectator a couple of times. My husband has run it, I don't even know the number, but similar to you, a lot, many, many times. Kind of that point to point where you start out in Hopkinton, of, you know, having to drop him off early in the morning and then traveling that whole distance into the city. So I think that's the other part I would imagine as a runner, just going from one community, Hopkinton to Ashland to Wellesley. I mean, just kind of clicking off the towns versus like in Chicago where you start it, maybe it was like Grant Park, and then you run north up to Wrigley Field, and you run to the west and the south, and then you come kind of back where you started again.
Exactly. It's so different.
Yeah. So I would imagine that even that part of Boston just being really different, that where you start is nowhere near where you end up in so many ways.
It's true. And then they take you on a bus out there. Sometimes I would get a ride, but I did like taking the bus. I wanted the full experience. So you're on a school bus. There's no real full experience, but I still felt that I was getting the full experience. And in those days too, this whole carbo loading, I did it. But the truth is, I have a gluten allergy. I had no idea. So So the best marathon I ran was in Phoenix, and I had a burger the night before. And that's why, I think, because some of those races, eating the pasta was never good for me. But I didn't know until I was like 57. But that was like one doctor saying to me, you know, you really should lay off on the pasta and see how that works. And I was like, night and day.
One thing you mentioned about Boston, or as part of Boston, maybe, was the Runners Club, the Winter Circle Running Club. So I'd love to get your perspective on that. I mean, obviously, we had an informal kind of running community when the five of us ran together as the Beehive Five. But obviously, the Winter Circle is a much more organized organization. So if people were thinking about running clubs, what's been the benefits to you? What are some things that you like about it?
I like that they organize runs, and they have like little competitions, and they do fundraise a lot. But it's more that there's some camaraderie with the people because they all want to run. So when you're with them, there's no like judgment, like run faster, run slower. There's some pretty fast people. They're amazing. But they, when we do a group run for, you know, a Boston training or whatever they come up with, for the season to get through the winters, then that's what I did like, because it made me go outside more, because the gear is so good now that you can wear light things and just have layers and you're not cold. Mm-hmm. I'll run in 10 degrees or below, and I like it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel okay. The running club people, they just seem to support you. They make you feel a part of a group. And they also do good. I do like that they are raising money. There's like a toy Santa Trot coming up in Merrimack, Mass. I'm not as active as when I was younger in it, because nowadays I just barely get enough time to go running.
Yeah.
And when I do get to run, I'm just running on my own more. And then one friend that stuck it out with me, she and I still get together and do our runs. We do miss our little groups, because we created groups just like our local group.
Yeah.
We've always kept groups. And in Winner's Circle, I think we did, they have this Mill City Relay. Mm-hmm. It's like a team sport of all the running clubs in Massachusetts. So you do that when you're in a running club, you get to try some things you never thought. Like, you're going to carry a baton and you're going to pass it off to the next person. So you're not responsible for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a reach the beach concept. And yeah. I have done that. I like trying all the things, just because then I want to see what's it all about.
Yeah.
I could never have tried. I've never tried a triathlon. I'm not a good enough swimmer. But I bike a lot, so maybe I'll do a duathlon. But running is just, it's funny. Running is my best sport in theory, but I bike more now, I think.
Well, I think you're a fantastic runner, and obviously you put a lot of miles on your bike, and so have found a way to fit both activities into your life, right? It's so hard to find time for all these things, but you have really managed that very, very well. I think we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You are listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. I'm your host, Pam. Kathleen, can you tell us a little bit about your running routine?
I pretty much wake up at about 5:30 and I say, all right, it's 30 degrees, time to go out. And it's dark right now these days. And
Very much so.
So I see other people out there, and I get out there, and I only go for like 2.5-3 miles, and that's good enough to me. It gets me going in the morning, and I wear reflective clothing, and I don't always wear a headlamp, but I have, but I keep on saying I don't like the feeling of it on my head. I've done it. And I do see other runners with special new lights that seem LED, and they have them on their shoes. I'm considering it. It hasn't happened yet for me. But I do get up every day, at least Monday through Friday, and that's my routine. And then I drive to work, and I have almost like 45 minutes. I physically go to a place to work. So I need the run. It does make me feel better. And sometimes I run walk, because even on my last marathon, and it was the Boston Marathon, in total I've done like 17 marathons. 10 were Boston, and Boston was my favorite. But I when I do the any type thing like that, I definitely need, I'm losing my train of thought.
Well, do you lay out like your clothes the night before?
No, I wear the same things almost every day.
Oh, because interesting.
It's cozy until they're dirty.
Do you listen to music?
I do podcasts usually.
Oh, okay, good.
And I'll never forget the last Boston in the rain and the storms. I listened to the Theranos case.
Oh yes,
so
yes.
So I got to hear the whole thing because 26.2, and it was enjoyable. Yeah. And now the trial, and I pay attention to it in the Wall Street Journal because I am curious about Elizabeth. I forget her last name, but
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like listening, and now I listen to music, and I it calms me. But even like Crime Junkie, you know, I listen to a lot of anything that gets me moving. Sometimes it used to be music, but now I can run in anything, and I don't need music. I can listen to nothing, and that works too, but I don't like that as much anymore. My head is used to hearing something, and it tends to motivate me.
Yeah.
Like that... In Phoenix, it was the Rock and Roll Marathon.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that I did best in because every so miles, you know, maybe every 3 miles, it was a different band. And so it made me motivated. I run better when there's loud music.
Ah.
So if there's drum percussion, I'm running better. I don't know why, but it works.
Well, I'm sure the bands love knowing that someone's appreciating them being out there because, right, they're out there, whether it's windy, rainy.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just feel so bad for some of the musicians in those inclement weather having to just stand there and perform, you know. So that's great to hear about music. Would you say, like, are there ways that you feel like running has enriched your life or, you know, for those around you even?
Yeah, my children know that, you know, I enjoy it, but they also know I find it hard. Mm-hmm. They know, like, and my husband, he's a runner too, but he'll say those first 3 miles are always junk miles. We hate running. Why are we even running? We have a whole thing in our head saying, who likes to run? Why do we run? But after like 3 miles, you're almost better. And you kind of relax and you get a rhythm and you say, well, I'm out here for a long time. It's nice out. It's sunny. Yeah, it could be cold. It could be hot. But you're outside and I pound the pavement. Like, I'm not the best trail runner. I do have a daughter in Boulder that really can run the trails. And that's all she does. She doesn't want to run on the pavement. And she'll do like, you know, 50 mile you know, high elevation.
That's incredible.
But she's younger, so she can do this. She's like 32, and she likes it. And I find that fascinating that it's that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
She has a dog that goes with her, and they go out for like 20 miles here and there. And I don't think she belongs to a running club, but she has a group of people. And like when I was out there, we hiked the Flatirons. She might as well just run them. You know, I was like... huffing and puffing.
Right.
But I've done all the 4,000 footers here, so I get it, but I don't think I could run them. I see people running and I'm like, wow. So, you know, just age and
well, I think you're obviously an inspiration to her. She probably saw you running all those years and went in a different path, but obviously was inspired by you. So I think that that's really incredible.
It's funny. I have another daughter that tried cross country in Newburyport, and she was shocked how they weren't gone so long. She said to me, I thought people that ran were gone for like 4 hours or 5 hours. And I was like, no, not everybody.
Right.
So for her, it was like an amazing discovery that you're not out there for like the whole day.
Right. Some of our training runs, we were out there all day and we had to prepare our families for that. We'll be back by 2.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they were long, long runs. Well, You know, I usually like to ask our guests a couple of questions. For those who are listening and trying to put together their running equipment, let's say, do you have a favorite running shoe?
Well, I'm a heavy pounder, which is interesting because people always hear me and I'm not big. So they were always like, wow, what's that? So I use this sneaker because it's got me through years and it's Mizuno, I think.
Okay.
Wave Creation. But it's interesting. I'm tempted to try those new Hokos, but I haven't because I just feel like I know what works for my foot. I'm going to stick with it. I don't have injury. I'm almost chicken. Like I it's hard for me to switch because
well, it's working.
It's working, but it, you know, I look at friends of mine that have changed with new shoes and I'm like, they look comfy. Maybe I should try it. But even you and I, when we went to did the Houston Half Marathon, we went to the expo and we were like, oh, look at these socks. They look cozy.
Right.
Dumb. Like you don't buy the sock the day on the expo and say, let's try it.
Right.
So I got these really thick socks and I ran that race in them and it wasn't good.
You were miserable. Right?
It wasn't good. But I learned that you don't buy anything at the expo. Even the goo, you better know that you've done goo before. When people are trying things on a race, I'm like, I could never do that.
Right.
I just want to keep things the way I know and what could work and what always has worked. And that's the same with the shoes.
That's such a good point because those expos, you go in and it's so tempting. Everything, and they look cheap. You can get three pairs of socks for $10. Like, why not? And then invariably you can't find your usual good ones in your luggage. So that's a really good tip. Double check your luggage before you go to a race. How about, is there a favorite tech item? It sounds as though you're kind of pretty traditional in what you use. So,
yeah, I'm trying to think. Do I use anything?
I don't know.
Well,
do you have a big watch?
I do my, no, I just wear my earbuds, listen to, nowadays, the podcast, but I turn into country music now. I just love nowadays their stories. They might as well be rapping to me because, it's always like, I almost want to put on cowboy boots and be in a bar with the country guy singer. But I never really used to listen to country. I used to be like Eminem, Get Me Going. So I just, maybe I'm slowing down.
I don't think about that. How about a bucket list? Is there a bucket list race or a race that's on the someday list?
I want to be able to maybe do one with one child, like anybody that wants to. So it would be whatever they want, even if it's just a 5K. Because I have done the mile race in Newburyport.
Oh, yeah.
And that's super hard to run a mile fast. I found that, let's just go do a marathon instead. Because that, you're full out the whole time.
Right.
And a mile is long.
Right. And I think it's at 6 o'clock in the evening. So
no, that's the Yankee homecoming race.
Oh, a different one. Another challenge.
Right. The High Street Mile it used to be. And it was at 9 a.m, maybe 10. But you have to run it fast. And I tried it twice. And I said, wow, I'm glad
not
I tried
for me.
It twice. Yeah. It was hard, but fun because you could do it.
Yeah.
But you have to run the whole way. You can't say, I'm halfway, I'm going to rest. That's why I like a marathon. You don't have to always be on.
That's so true. Well, I hope one of your children is listening and takes you up on that offer to do a race because that would be wonderful. How about lastly, is there something you say to yourself when the going gets tough?
It is true. It is tough. And I say to myself, but you'll be so happy and proud of yourself when you finish. You can do it. You've done it before. You have muscle memory. I always rely on my muscle memory because it never lets me down. Some people say to me, how can you just go run that marathon after you ran that marathon? And I say, my legs and my body, I have the endurance. Like it's in my head. I know I can do it. Once you've done it, you just feel confident. So I have the confidence that I can do it. And when I'm struggling, I do think of my children.
That is really wonderful. That is wonderful. Well, thank you, Kathleen, so much for joining me today. I am so grateful for our decades of friendship, and you truly are an inspiration. So thank you so much for joining me. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. You can find 50 States Finish Line episodes on all podcast platforms. And until next time, I hope you feel energized about planning your next race. Happy running.